Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:09 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is July 13th. Well, the Nasdaq posted a downside key day reversal in here today. At one point, it was up rather robustly, and it was being led higher by some of the biggest companies like Amazon and Nvidia. Now, Maxim Integrated Products continues to outperform here because it is the subject of a takeover offer. But if we look at the top 16 performers on the Nasdaq today, in fact, there's only 15 of them are in positive territory, and none of the big FANG shares are still in there. So when we look at the FANG index, then we're also presented here with a very clear downward dynamic from the psychological 5,000 level. And that was a doubling from the peak, from the low back in March. It's a logical area where we might anticipate some pause and consolidation. But we can also clearly see that over the course of the last 10 sessions, there has been a very significant acceleration of the trend, which was already impressive up from the lows. But certainly we had one small range above another between the end of March and the beginning of July, and since the beginning of July, the market really did just race on the upside. So this is a significant reaction. It does suggest that we are likely to see at least some pause and consolidation in here. Now, when we think about the Dow Jones, it had got right back above the 200-day moving average in here today, and it was doing so in a robust manner, and then reversed it, and is now back in the region of the 26,000 level. The Russell 2000 had also firmed within its range, had come right back up to test the region of the trend mean, but was not able to hold it. Well, part of the reason for all of that is because of the continued spread of the coronavirus and the clear potential need for additional measures to slow down the spread of the virus. I was out for a walk with the family yesterday. We walked past a number of restaurants where people were dining outside in very close quarters and not wearing any kind of mask at all, regardless of whether they were eating or waiting for their food. And these were also more like acting like bars than restaurants. Bars have been closed, but restaurants haven't, and people are just using the restaurants as bars. And there is a clear, I think, diminution of the willingness to submit to cautionary activity. But the Los Angeles Unified School District was one of the first in the USA today to say that they are not opening up again in August. So there are certainly some measures coming down the pipe from officialdom that are contributing to a slowdown in the pace of opening up. And that does raise problems, for less so for companies like Amazon, and yet Amazon has accelerated, and this is a very large downside key reversal, where the amplitude of trading on the day is not so much that it's down $96, but that at one point today it was $250 above where it closed. And that is a significant move. But what we have clearly seen is that there is a massive acceleration that's taken place in the last 10 days, and that at least some consolidation of that is looking increasingly likely. But we can also look at the trend over the last decade, and Amazon has been punctuated by these periods of consolidation in the past, and generally when they have been resolved, we get these explosive breakouts. And when those explosive breakouts have run their course, then we get an additional period of pullback and ranging. Well, Amazon broke above 2000 and rallied more than 50% to its recent peak, and it is likely we're going to see some consolidation. And That is, I think, equally true of most of these shares. But Amazon is a company that has got a really well-defined business. I was on another Zoom meeting in here today, and it was uniquely difficult. And a lot of people are still struggling with technology, despite the fact that they have had months to get used to it. They are painful in terms of trying to participate, and everything just takes longer than it should do with an ordinary conference call. The share also had a key reversal in here today, and there is the clear potential that we're going to see additional consolidation. Then, of course, we have got some of the airlines that are coming up for earnings. Delta will be announcing tomorrow, but United is probably at much more risk because it's got a lot more in terms of intangible assets. I created this spreadsheet not so long ago, but it clearly highlights that there are companies where they have got over $1 billion more in valued of or more in intangibles than they do in market cap on their balance sheets. For companies like CVS Health, it's 36 billion more in intangible assets than the market cap, and for AT&T, it's 100 billion. Well, it's hard to imagine how these kinds of companies are going to perform, or how is it that we could write a narrative or come up with a narrative that would spell recovery when they are carrying that much goodwill on their balance sheets. It just boggles the mind that these shares are being still supported by investors, but it also is clearly contributing to their underperformance overall. Now, the reality is that there is going to be a clear differentiation between the better and worse performing companies, and that the coronavirus is an accelerant. It takes everything that we were worried about and apprehensive about in 2019 and makes it worse. Well, the acceleration of technology, the dematerialization, the continued take-up of digitization, and the clear trend towards greater cloud computing and those types of solutions, the evolution of 5G from 4G, these are all part of the accelerating trends, but so are the fact that this widening gap between the successful and the unsuccessful. It is clearly putting pressure on weak balance sheets. These are going to be serious questions that are going to be answered over the coming 6 months. And there is a clear need for continued monetary and fiscal stimulus. And it was, I think, inevitable that we're going to get a wobble in stock markets ahead of the end of July, because the U.S. federal government has got a big decision to make. The additional unemployment benefits, which was an additional $600 a week, are going to expire at the end of the month, and today is the 13th. The tax returns for this period, or excuse me, the delayed tax returns that were due in April are due on the 15th, and that's going to be a significant check that a lot of families and businesses are going to be writing. Then, of course, you have got the clear uncertainty about the ability to get millions of people back to work. Therefore, it is very likely we are going to get additional stimulative measures. 10-year Treasury yields were lower in here today. There has been a downward bias to trading since the beginning of June, but perhaps more important than that is if we just simply zoom in on the trend. It was upwards all the way through until about the end of June, and subsequently it has broken the sequence of higher reaction lows, and there is a clear downward bias to trading since then. Then, when we start to think internationally, the big question for Europe is how willing are the respective governments in the region going to be to acquiesce to additional stimulative action and the dispensing with the fiscal straitjacket. It's absolutely necessary, and it is still a question of just how far they're willing to go. I personally think that it is the next step on the road to European federalism. It's a long road. It might be another 20 years before we get there in totality, but that is certainly the trajectory of policy in the EU. The euro was in positive territory in here today and coming back towards the upper side of its range. The pound, however, was in negative territory and is encountering resistance around the 127 area. Now, the big question is really with regard to the UK and its use of inflation-protected gilts, because then they have clearly linked those to inflationary expectations, and it represents approximately a third of all UK debt. If the Bank of England is going to continue to support the economy with additional quantitative easing, then it seems to be almost inevitable that they're going to have to start buying these inflation-protected bonds to take them out of the market. If the UK wishes to inflate its debt, then they are going to have to dispense with their inflation-protected gilts market. That means that they are probably going to have to retire the debt, and that means buying it in. Now, the clear victim of that kind of strategy is likely to be the pound, which I think is beginning to be priced in, and the resistance in the region of the trend mean against the dollar is certainly something that we need to give some consideration to. Then, when we look at the pound versus the euro, well, it has also held a sequence of lower rally highs over the course of the last while, but it has continued to hold the 110 area. And it's going to have to continue to hold that 110 area and break the sequence of lower rally highs in order to confirm that we're back in a pound dominant position. When we then think about what that means for the stock market, well, the FTSE was in positive territory in here today, but it is extraordinarily unlikely that it is going to be in positive territory tomorrow, and we're quite likely to see it come back down towards the 6,000 level. Then, when I think we look at other markets, the Nikkei, for example, was taking its cue from strength earlier on in here today and was in positive territory and pushed on to a new recovery high over the course of the last 6 weeks. And it is firming from the region of the trend mean, but again, it is also likely to be in negative territory tomorrow. Now, when we look at what's going on in China, there has been some reticence expressed about the speed of the breakout. But there is the additional point that China might be a little bit uncertain about just how quickly the market has risen, but they need a stronger stock market. They need to continue to create a facade of strength and confidence, and that is clearly animating investor interest in the stock market. And the CSI 300 was in positive territory in here today and closed at a new recovery high. Now, the big question is whether China's markets will remain steady and strong versus the potential for a corrective phase or at least a pause on Wall Street. If that does turn out to be the case, then it is quite likely that China is going to start attracting additional investment flows. And the renminbi closed today stronger than 7. So China's willingness to clearly step in and support its markets is attracting investor interest at present. Not necessarily because of relative strength in the economy, but because of the clear willingness of the Chinese administration to try and project that exact conclusion. and that is helping to support industrial resources. So the copper price was stronger in here today, but got right up to the $3 area and then pulled back. Now, we have got a very clear overbought condition in the short term, and it is quite likely we're going to get some pause and consolidation. But the most important thing it has done has been to break the more than 2-year downtrend. And as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, and perhaps more importantly, the $2.50 area, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to continued upside. Then when we think about the nickel price, it also had been doing better in here today. So it has closed in the region of the trend mean. I personally think the most important thing it has done over the last 3 months has been to break the downtrend from the peak in 2019. And there is the clear potential that we're going to get another push on the upside from the nickel price. Part of the reason why it has been doing better is because of Tesla. Now, they are heading into their battery day, and they're going to announce the release of the million-mile battery in the USA in all likelihood. They've also adopted a cobalt-free battery design, but that will necessitate higher use of nickel. But the price of the share got up to $1,800 today and closed at $1,500. So at $300 amplitude of trading versus the headline figure of a $47 decline. There's been an incredible acceleration, and moving 80% in the space of just 13 days is really quite extraordinary, and it is really very likely that we're going to have at least some pause and consolidation in here at present. Well, therefore, there is the clear scope here that there's going to be some demand for safe havens arriving. Now, gold prices were up about $11 in early trading, gave up some of that advance, but are still trading around the $1,800 area. Silver had rallied almost all the way up to the $20 area, but was not quite able to hold on to all of the advance. I think it is perhaps a little bit too much to ask in the short term that it will break above $20 in the next few days, but rather that we're more likely to see some consolidation of the recent advance prior to an eventual breakout. So the clear momentum move in stocks got some pause in here today. I think there is the clear potential that we're going to get some pause in consolidation, but that is likely to set up a number of the commodities for substantially higher levels later. And that, of course, is contingent on additional stimulative measures in both the USA and Europe, but also then, of course, Japan, China, and many of the commodity producers themselves in order to really reinvigorate investor sentiment. I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.